Greatest Star Trek movie of all time. You know it? I heard it. Yes, that's exactly right. Star Trek Wrath of Khan. Do you know this movie? I have referenced it very many times in a sermon. If you have not seen it yet, it is hard for me not to give you spoiler alerts. So you need to go see this movie so that I can tell a little bit more about it. But I'm no spoiler this morning. I'm just going to talk about one thing. There is a point in the movie where Kirk and Spock are having a philosophical discussion. And this is what the key phrase is of that philosophical discussion. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And this phrase is carried throughout the whole entire movie, and at a very poignant time of the movie, this theme comes back, and every time this happens, I start to weep uncontrollably, which is why it is the best Star Trek movie of all time. And you have to see it. It's really good. Because there is a maxim in life that we all have heard, which is called the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. There's actually a name for it. I don't know if you know this, but the name is called utilitarianism. Utilitarianism states that actions are right if they're useful for the benefit of the majority. Or put another way, you might say this, that an action that promotes happiness and the greatest happiness of the greatest number of people should be the guiding principle of conduct in life. And this was first developed by a philosopher in the 18th century whose name was Jeremy Bentham. Utilitarianism. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And while most of you probably never really thought about it before, I would say that probably most of us agree with this. It is why, for example, some people, like soldiers, go to war because they know that they might be sacrificing their freedom and their life in order to protect the freedom of lives of many other people. It's why firemen go into burning buildings like we had on 9/11, and you had several firemen going up and trying to rescue people. Why? Because the potential of rescuing people in need is greater than perhaps the risk of the firemen going up. Or perhaps you might know a police officer who put their lives on the line so that they could protect a greater number of people. So we agree that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or even sometimes the one. On Thursday of this week, I was looking for an example, and one came up online, a guy named Yao Xiu Ming, aged 50, went into the treacherous part of the Ma'an Sha County Park in Hong Kong. And he was attempting to rescue people who become trapped in a cliff. And while trying to rescue them, Xiu Ming lost his footing and he slipped. And he fell into a coma after hitting his head. And he was rushed to the nearby hospital where he eventually died. The people he tried to rescue were eventually rescued. And while we're not happy about the fact that a rescuer died, in a sense, we understand this principle, this utilitarianism principle, that sometimes risks must be taken by a small number of people, or one, in order to rescue the greater good. But does God follow this? Is this a doctrine that God believes in? Sometimes he follows it seems. And sometimes he doesn't, to the point of being scandalous. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're beginning a new sermon series called The Lost Parables. And they're from Luke 15. There's the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then the parable of the lost son. And in each of these parables, Jesus is trying to teach us a very important lesson. And today we're going to look at the first of those parables, which is the parable of the lost sheep that we just read. Now, I know you've all heard this parable before, right? A shepherd is out with his flock. He's got 100 sheep. He's out with them all day. He's protecting them from all the dangers of the world. He comes back in at night and he starts counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he gets to 99 and he's missing one. He goes, oh, I must have counted wrong. So he counts again, 1 to 99, and he's missing one. And he realizes that he is missing one sheep. And so he goes out amid the dangers of life. He leaves the sheep where they are and he goes and he finds the sheep. And we pick up the story in verse 6. And when he, this shepherd, comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and he says to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And you all know this story because it is a foundational principle of every single Disney story that's ever been created. And I'm serious about this. Think of any Disney story. Sleeping Beauty, right? The shepherd, who in this case is Prince Charming, fights Maleficent, goes out into the dangers of life, and he finally rescues the young princess. Or maybe it's The Lion King, where Simba goes out and comes back and he rescues the pride. You name any Disney movie, and this is exactly what happens. Against all odds, the hero always goes out. Belle rescues the beast. I should end the sermon here, and probably many would be happy about that. Jesus is the good shepherd, and one of his sheep goes missing. He goes out and he finds it and he brings it back. It's the end of story, end of sermon. Thank you very much. Jesus loves you. But not so fast. Because upon closer inspection, we find something a bit scandalous in this story. It shows up in verse 4. This is what Jesus said. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 sheep in the open country and goes after the one that is lost until he finds it? It's that descriptor, the open country, that really bothers me. It causes pause. You see, it's one thing to leave the sheep safe in the pasture, surrounded by some sort of barrier that's going to protect them from all the dangers of life. And it's quite another thing to leave the sheep out in the open country, alone and unprotected, while the shepherd goes out and finds the lost sheep. Is that the right thing to do? Isn't that risky? Doesn't the doctrine of utilitarianism suggest that leaving 99 sheep to find the one lost sheep is really a bad prospect? Sure, this time the story has a happy ending. The shepherd returns with the lost sheep. The 99 are still okay. But what if they hadn't been okay? What if the shepherd had come back and the flock was decimated? What if a pride of ravaging lions had come camping out right next to the flock? So as soon as the shepherd leaves, they attack. How would the villagers respond if, when the shepherd returns, he says, well, I left 99 sheep unprotected and I found the last sheep, but when I came back, the whole herd was decimated. They might not be so forgiving. I know the sheep wouldn't be happy. And that's why this parable is so troubling. Because things don't always turn out like a Disney movie. Life doesn't always unfold like a picture book in ribbons and bows. Sometimes, rescuing the one lost sheep puts the 99 in danger. But you see, that's the whole point of the parable. We have to back up, and we got to see, why is Jesus talking about these parables? Who is he talking to, and what's the audience? If I go back to verses 1 through 2, the intro to the parables, it says this, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. The tax collectors and the sinners are all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumble, and they're saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And why is this a problem? Because God's people don't eat with sinners and tax collectors. That's a big taboo. That's a big no-no. The whole entire Jewish religion clearly lays out a system of laws that says who you can eat with, when you can eat with them, what food you can eat, and tax collectors and sinners are not in that list. And receiving them, violates that law. You see, the Pharisees were like shepherds. They cared for their flock, and they would never do anything that would jeopardize the safety and security of their flock. And they, of all people, kept rules in place to protect the integrity of the whole flock. And they would not risk that cohesiveness to associate with one that is lost. But that's the whole point of Jesus, isn't it? He actually said this same parable, but in a different way. You've all heard it as the story of the Good Samaritan. There's a man going on the road from Jericho, and he falls upon robbers who beat him and leave him for practically dead on the road. And who comes by? It's the Pharisees, it's the chief priests, it's the Levites, it's the religious rulers of that time. And they look and they see a man hurting by the side of the road, but they do not lift a finger to help. And why? Because they hear in their voice all the sheep that says, don't touch them. Don't risk the integrity of this flock. It would be violating the law. You're not allowed to associate with somebody who's bleeding. They're unclean. So move to the other side of the road and don't help them. Walk on by. And Jesus told that parable to the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Levites also. You know, this can happen in modern day churches. There are churches that won't associate with people who don't follow God's law, and they would rather see those people live in agony and bleed on the side of the road than try to rescue them from the life, from that life. Why? Because every institution tries to protect the institution at the expense of people who are outside of the institution. That happens in every organization. Just think about it. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. It's utilitarianism. Or as Spock would say, it's logical. Reaching the lost always means taking a risk. Reaching the lost always means taking a risk. For the shepherd, it is risking that the 99 sheep may not be there when he comes back. For the Pharisees, it means that they would need to show compassion and interact with tax collectors and sinners and risk the stability and the self-righteousness of the whole entire flock. And for a modern-day church, it means risking the things we hold sacred and dear in order to put ourselves face-to-face with those people who need to hear God and see His love and to show compassion to a lost and dying world. Let me put it another way. Religious leaders are always more concerned with the flock in front of them than the lost that isn't in front of them. They hear the voices of the flock in front of them, but they don't hear the voice of the lost one that isn't in front of them. But Jesus does. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." In other words, Jesus is actually more concerned about the lost than he is about those who aren't lost, because Jesus hears the voice of the lost sheep. He sees them. In the midst of Jesus being in the flock of 99, somehow he hears the voice of the one lost, alone, unprotected, in a dangerous place, crying out because of the danger. And somehow amidst that flock, Jesus hears that voice, and he has no choice, but he has to go after the lost. It isn't utilitarianism by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it's the opposite of utilitarianism. It's the needs of the one outweighing the needs of the many. It simply doesn't make sense unless you are the lost sheep. If you can somehow place yourself as the lost sheep, then you understand this parable. If we can understand that we are the ones who lost, and Jesus left the comfort of heaven and risked everything to come and rescue us, He violated utilitarian principles to let our needs outweigh everything else. And then we begin to understand why Jesus loves the lost. Because if he didn't, we would remain lost. The story is told of a man walking down the beach. I'm sure you've heard this story before, but if not, I'll tell it to you. He's walking down the beach, and he looks off into the distance, and he sees the young boy. And the young boy seems to be throwing something into the ocean. And as he gets closer, he realizes that the beach is littered with starfish, literally hundreds of thousands of starfish. And this little boy is picking up the starfish, and he's throwing them into the ocean, one by one. And the man comes up to this little boy, and he says, "What in the world are you doing?" And the little boy says, "Well, I'm throwing these starfish into the ocean because somehow the tide came in weird, and I've seen this before, and if these starfish stay here, as soon as the sun comes, they're going to bake them to death, and they're all going to die. And so I'm throwing them back in the ocean." And the old man, this wasn't an old man, the man looks and he says, "But there are hundreds of thousands of starships. You're not starships. Oh my goodness. Starfish. You know, star something. There's hundreds of thousands of starfish here. You are not even going to make a dent in this. You're not even going to make a difference." And the young boy picks up a starfish and he throws it into the ocean. And he says, "Well, I just made a difference for that one." You see, Jesus made a difference in our life. In the Star Trek movie, at the end of it, this whole entire thing of utilitarianism comes to a head. And the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few and the needs of the one. But then, in the next movie, they begin to have second thoughts about this. At what point do the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one? And is it possible that there are needs of the one that are so important that the many would sacrifice themselves for the needs of the one? And they get into this big philosophical debate that actually lasts for three whole Star Trek movies. So I'm telling you, you got to see these movies. And you got to think about utilitarianism. Because it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to grasp that our God would risk everything to become flesh and to rescue us. One lost soul. But when we understand that, when we understand the incredible gift that God did for us, we can't help but hear the voices of the lost sheep that are in our world. May God grant us the wisdom and the strength to do just that. Would you please pray with me? Dear God, you have rescued us from sin, Satan, and death, and for this we are so grateful. But we live in a world that is ravaged by the powers of darkness. Grant us the strength and the wisdom to risk our comfort, to seek and find the lost, through the power of your Son who found us. In his name we pray. Amen.